This is, we're going to do this quickly so we can go on to our lesson. We're going to look at the, and so,
Pastor,
yes.
May I just go back to this here? Applying to your heart, does that mean you're really confessing your sins before God before you read His Word?
Actually, confessing our sins would be a prerequisite before all of this. Before all of it. Applying it to our heart would be taking the truth and saying, well, how can I live this? Or what difference should this make in my life? What area of my life? Okay, now, okay, so let's put it this way. If you have a bucket of paint, okay, right? And you dip your brush in it. Did you apply it yet?
No.
So apply it means more than, it's more than just a thinking process. It really has to do with it has to do with a direct application to our life, okay? And so it's going beyond the next step. Well, how am I going to apply this to my life? And, of course, we apply it internally first, okay? All right. So our attributes of God, let's go there. And actually, this was supposed to be a quiz for you, but if we did it as a quiz, then all our class would be a quiz and we wouldn't go forward. So we'll let this be a self-quiz and we'll give you a moment to write down an answer and then we'll get the answer. Okay? 1 Kings 8:27. Solomon is praying at the dedication of the temple. The temple that he built. And it says, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Supposed to give an answer. Write an answer down. Thomas, you're writing all the answers down before you read it because you know the verses. Okay. What's the answer, Thomas? Okay. Immensity. We could put infinity down. Okay, either one would be pretty close. Okay? Remember last week you got a list of attributes of God. Okay? Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Here is the Lord's answer to Moses when he asked, who should he tell the people of Israel that was sending him? Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Okay, write down some answer. Okay, Thomas, what do you have for an answer?
Self-existence.
Okay. Self-existence. Okay. It's also a verse that we use to speak of his eternal nature. But self-existence. Okay, let's turn to Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. For I am the Lord, I change not. Put your answer down before you say it. Okay, what's the answer, Thomas?
It's been said already.
Okay. Immutable. He does not change. Okay. Psalm 90. Psalm 90 in verse number 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever had thou formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Kind of overlapping here. What'd you put down, Thomas? Eternity. Okay, let's go to Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's one of the omnis. Yes. Omnipresence. Okay. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. What's that one? Omniscience. All-knowing. Yeah, omni, O-M-N-I, science, S-I, S-C-I, S-C-I, omniscience. I can't. I-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Yeah. It's easier to write it than to say it out loud. Okay. John 4:24. Okay, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That one's pretty hard. Okay, there's a number of answers you could give on that one. Simplicity. What would you put down? Spirituality, yes. Okay. Omnipotent? We didn't touch that one. Okay. Now, today, we're going to try to give you some direction about the attributes of God. Okay? First three at the top? That was nothing. First three are to put a definition, a name, attribute, a definition, and a verse. But you don't have to do that one. We may. Okay. So now the answer to that quiz, we may give you that one next week again. All right, the attributes of God, we're going to try. There's lots of ways to divide them. And we have two definitions here. I mean, two explanations of the attributes of God. We would call a number of them that have to do would be absolute attributes. Some people would call them immanent. And maybe a simple definition would be attributes that talk about God's relation to himself. God's relate that have to do with himself. We have that little definition there. Absolute or immanent attributes, we mean attributes which respect the inner being of God, which are involved in God's relations to himself and which belong to his nature independently of his connection with the universe. Okay, these are attributes that speak of God in of himself that have are not known in his relationship to the universe. We know of God's, for instance, omnipresence. That's an attribute of God that is related to us, isn't it? We know it in that regard. But these have to do with his inner being. Okay, so we have a simple explanation. And we're going to just go through this quickly and let you think about it. And we'll go over it again, but it takes a little bit to get this, to sink this in. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so On our chart here, the blue one. Got the blue one? Okay. There's three areas that Augustus Strong has declared have to do with absolute attributes. One, his spirituality, that's A. B, his infinity. And C, his perfection. Okay? In other words, what he is in himself. All right? His spirituality. Strong has two aspects of that. That he has life, and that he has personality. Okay? In other words, he knows, he wills, understands. Infinity. He exists by himself. Immutability, doesn't change. His unity, he is indivisible. Okay? And then his perfections, he is perfect truth, perfect love, and perfect holiness. All right? Now, if you go to the side, we have Strong's definition of God. God, and we're going to be looking at verses on all of these, but this is just to kind of start the process. God is a spirit, infinite and perfect. And then it goes to the next half, we'll be talking about that, the source, support, and end of all things. That's just a human definition. But then, so we have absolute, and then we have relative. Or, Strong calls it transitive attributes. Okay? And these have to do with, as we have written there, relative or transitive attributes, we mean attributes which respect the outward relation of God's being, which are involved in God's relations to the universe, and which are exercised in consequence of the existence of the universe and its dependence upon Him. Okay, we'll ask a question. Is God dependent on the universe? No. He exists apart from the universe. He exists apart from the universe. Now the heavens declare the glory of God. But God exists apart from the universe. Okay? And we're just kind of mentioning here, these are attributes that are relative or in relation to the universe. That's how we know them. Okay? So, we have the attributes that are related to time and space. Eternity and immensity. Okay? He is eternal and he cannot be contained. He is infinite. Relation to creation. He is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. And then related to moral beings. Veracity and faithfulness or transitive truth. Mercy and goodness or transitive love. Justice and righteousness or transitive holiness. In other words, love applied to creation, truth applied to creation, and holiness as applied to creation. All right? And so each one of these things would be considered an attribute of God, and yet some of them refer to his very inner being. That's how, and we cannot relate to that, can we? Can we relate to that? Self-existent? We can't relate to that. No, we can relate to them in certain degrees, but God exists apart from us, doesn't he? And who is he? You know, what is his essence? So, there'd be different terms that could be used of the different attributes, but we're going to kind of what does it say? I think God as known in relation to creation. Now, you could go to 5 or 10 different theologies and they could have, you know, different categories. This is just, none of that is infallible. It's just a division that helps us in our mind begin to comprehend who God is. Okay? And so we're going to try to eventually look at different verses that will talk about these different attributes of God. Okay? So, how's your brain? Wally.
Pastor, we know in the Old Testament that here the Spirit of God came on individuals. And when they were anointed, the Holy Spirit came on them. Now, we know in the New Testament, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in each individual. But I'm referring now to the Old Testament. Each believer in the Old Testament, were they spirit-filled?
Not, you know, there's a difference between spirit-filled and spirit-indwelling.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, both.
Okay. The Bible tells us that the emphasis of the whole Old Testament was that the Spirit came upon people and equipped them for the task that he had for them to do. In fact, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament could fill unsaved people because he would equip them to do the task that he had for them to do. The New Testament emphasis is that every person is permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Pardon? Every saved person. All right? Now, emphasis in the Old Testament is that David, for instance, had the special equipping of the Holy Spirit to be king. And when he sinned against God, he prayed that God wouldn't take away the Holy Spirit, like that God took away the Holy Spirit from Saul, and so Saul did not have that special enabling that he needed to be the king. And so you could say that, I would say that Saul from that point on was left to himself to do a job that he was unable to do, because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? But I have a question to answer a question. Okay? Were people in the Old Testament born again? That were saved?
Repeat that, please.
Old Testament believers, were they born again? And then who were they born again by? By the Holy Spirit. They're born again by the Holy Spirit in virtue of what Christ would do on the cross. But what does it say in John 3? He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he says, how is it that thou, being a master of Israel, know not these things? Okay? And so he's saying to Nicodemus, how can you be a master of Israel and you don't know the most important thing of life? Okay? So, yes. So the question is, were they born again by the Spirit and then the Spirit left them? I'm sure that they could. But, you know, what seems to be just some easy answer, I don't know if it's so easy. You know, the theologies make this easy answer. Oh, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell Old Testament believers or whatever in any. And then, so how are you born again? Then the Holy Spirit leaves you? That's a good question. Okay.
Jesus said he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They were still quite carnal when you look at the apostles.
Well, there's a lot of we realize there's more than one interpretation to that passage of scripture. But it could be obviously interpreted in the Old Testament saints sense that that the Holy Spirit. There was equipping them for the hour in which they were living. Okay, talk about 50 days, between the resurrection and Pentecost. Yes,
it was temporary in the Old Testament.
That's right. How long is temporary though?
As long as they live for the Lord.
Okay, so that's a good question too. Okay, but we're on the attributes of God. We aren't going to. That's a very good question. That could demand a whole new study. That in the Old Testament, that the filling of the Spirit of God was temporary, the anointing. Okay. Typically. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity for us to begin this important study in the Word of God. And I pray that, Lord, you'll help me to clearly present the truth of your Word in such a way that all could understand and that we would all come to know the truth of who you are in a way that would help us to grow, to be people of truth, and to be people that think biblically, and we would have the right basis of our spiritual life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.